Tonight we're talking about better communication. I think I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyhow. Is there anybody in here who feels that, as far as communication is concerned in their marriage, on a scale of 1 to 10, they're an 11? Okay. Every relationship has its ups and downs. And communication issues and problems always pop up at different times in every single marriage. It's something that's constant. It's something that's ongoing. And I think it's something that we always continue to learn. I don't believe the day will ever come where you and your spouse, where everything is just going to be perfect and there are no, you know, communication issues. I've been married for almost 18 years now. I haven't seen that day yet. If anything, I'm still working on stuff, you know, to make sure that my communication with my wife is a lot better. Like you've heard me say so many times, marriage is simply a union of two sinners. And I know that when two sinners get together, every once in a while, there's going to be some sin. And so this stuff is not rocket science. A good marriage communication does not happen by itself. It takes work. And prayerfully tonight, some of the things we're going to be talking about is going to help us in terms of having better communication with our spouse. Okay? Now, last week, I gave us some assignment to do as far as building intimacy. Again, I hope you've gone through it. And if you were not here, I hope you've gone to the website, listened to the lesson, and gone through that stuff. Because I'm about to give you another stuff tonight. You don't want this stuff to pile up. Okay? We're not just doing these classes just for the sake of doing them. We're doing them so that we can improve our marriages. Amen? And so I encourage you to do the little sheet we handed out last week, and you know, go through it, score yourself, and decide to implement several of the things on that sheet, and I think it's going to help you build more intimacy with your spouse. Amen. You say, Richard, what did you score? I'll tell you, since you didn't ask. I scored 137 out of 200. It's better than average, but it's not perfect. So there's room for improvement, okay? And I think that's where a lot of us fall. Amen? But tonight we're talking about better communication. You see, words have power. But you see, communication is more than just words. It is our tone of voice. It's our gestures. And nonverbal body language. Yeah, we can be talking to our spouse, and yes, they're sitting right in front of us, but our body language says, you know what, I don't want to hear this. But we're not talking about this. And so it's not just words, it's also nonverbal language. And like I said, tonight we're going to talk about improving our communication with our spouse. Amen? I want to make 2 points, basically as we go through this. Number one, words have power. Okay? In Proverbs 16, verse 24, the Bible says, pleasant words are honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Pleasant words. Proverbs 16, verse 24. Proverbs 15, verse 1. The Bible says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 13 verse 3. He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. Proverbs 12 verse 18. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. Proverbs 17 verse 25. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful in building up your spouse according to their needs, so that it may benefit him or her. Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up your spouse according to their needs, that it may benefit those him or her. And we'll stop there for now. I wanted to read those verses right at the start because the Bible talks a lot about the tongue and the power of the tongue. And a lot of times when there's conflict in marriage, and that's what we're going to talk about next week, conflict resolution, a lot of the problems come because of the way we communicate with each other, the way we've communicated with our husband or our wife, or not communicated. Silence can also be a weapon. Okay? So, you're not saying anything. Again, it's not always right. But words have power. You see, our thoughts and feelings impact the way we communicate with our spouse. That's what we all need to understand in here. That when we say things, the way we're feeling and what we're thinking, it shows up in the way it comes out. Are you with me? And many times, believe it or not, we actually express pain. We express fear and frustration, but it comes out as anger. Have you ever been in a situation where you're talking with your spouse and something's really frustrated you? And you say, why are you getting angry? I'm not angry. I'm frustrated. But you're angry. They're not the same thing. But a lot of times what happens is, We express our frustration, our pain, our fears in the form of anger. Okay? And again, the Bible has a lot to say about that. There's a very really simple principle that I think will help us, that I know, again, I try to apply in my own life. You know, and that is, I think, I pray before I say something. Because words are such that once you get them out, you cannot take them back. And a lot of times, you know, when we express things out of anger or frustration, you know, that argument is not going to go very well. And when words come out, you can't take them back. And that's why it's very important that we pause and we think. And you say a quick prayer. Lord, help me calm down. Where you need to express what you're feeling. You need to express what is going on in your mind without the emotion. And that's what that does in terms of when we pause, it helps us to be able to say what's going on without the emotion. Are you with me? It doesn't just happen. It takes work. And so we need to think and pray before we speak. Again, I believe that as Christians, there should never be name calling. Never. That shouldn't exist for disciples of Jesus Christ. I've been married 18 years. Actually, this Sunday. And so you guys are not going to see me this weekend. Okay? We're going to be off on our anniversary. But anyway, what do you call it? But in our 18 years of marriage, and again, I'm not saying this to boast, Sarah and I, we've never called each other names. Because we are simply not going there. We're disciples of Jesus Christ first. Have we gotten upset with each other? Yes, many, many times. But there's never been name calling. There's never been cursing at each other. We've never done it. And we never will. Because again, this is about me and God. Are you with me? And we got to understand that, you know, sometimes, you know, we feel like, well, I'm justified, or my husband did this, or my wife said this, or whatever. You and I do not have a license to sin. It's not there. I can't find the Bible. And so there should never be name calling, or where you guys are screaming at each other. Or heaven forbid, you know, screaming obscenities at each other. It should never be. Because again, some of us, we have kids. And one of the things that causes kids to become extremely insecure is when they see their mom and their dad arguing and raising their voice and calling each other names. Yeah, they may be in the other room. You're going to have some very insecure kids. And that's why you never argue in front of your children. You need to go cool off. Oh, I'm hot, Richard. Then get out of the house. But you shouldn't be standing there and screaming at each other and trying to, you know, outshout each other. It should never be. Again, the way they build houses these days, here's your house, your neighbor's house is right next door. And every Sunday, every Thursday night, you say you're going to church, and they say, oh yeah, and these people are supposed to be Christians. They're not going to say it to you, but they can hear you. They're thinking it. And they're thinking, what is your God doing for you? I hear you screaming at your wife, or I hear you shouting at your husband. Or I hear you talking back at each other. And then you go, hey guys, we're having this International Sunday. I love when you come to church. And they're going, right. Our example is very important. Amen? It shouldn't be. But you see, words have power. Again, sometimes when we're frustrated and, you know, we're upset about something, you know, we'll say things like, well, you never do this. Or you always do this. But that's not the case. It's not always that your spouse acts in a certain way or they never do something. Instead, what I want to encourage us to start doing is use what I call I statements. Instead of saying, whenever you do this, here's how I feel. Say, you know what? I feel this way. It's a little bit less defensive for your spouse when you say, you know what, I feel this way. Or here's what I'm thinking. Are you listening to me? Instead of you is very accusatory. Remember, you're trying to express what you're feeling without the emotion. Let's say, you know what, I feel this way. As opposed to, you never do this, or you that. There's a difference. Now, brothers, some of us, we've seen the book, or you may have even read at some point, Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus. That is so true when it comes to communication and words. The way God created our wives, they have a need to talk. They have a need to communicate. We men don't. Okay? That computer chip is missing from this computer. Okay? Not to say that we don't talk, but it's not there. The need to talk is not there. Women have that in them. That's the way God created them. And like I always tell the brothers, you married a woman, not a man. And so you got to talk. Us got to talk. Are you with me? Men and women are different in that area. I mean, listen to this exchange between two women. Okay? Woman number one. Oh, you got a haircut. It's so cute. Woman number two. And I'm just going to go back and forth and read you what they've said. Do you think so? I wasn't sure what my stylist gave me when he gave me the mirror. I mean, you don't think it's a little bit too fluffy? Oh, no, it's perfect. I'd love to get my hair cut like that. But I think my face is too wide. I'm pretty much stuck with this style, I think. Are you serious? I think your face is adorable. And you could easily get one of these layer cuts that would look so cute on you. I was actually going to do that, except that I was afraid I would accent my long neck. Oh, now that's funny. I would love to have your neck. Anything to take attention away from this 2x4 I have on my shoulder line. Are you kidding? I know girls who would love to have your shoulders. Everything drapes so well on you. I mean, look at your arms. See how short they are. If I had your shoulders, I could get clothes to fit me so much easier. Do you think so? Or you're just saying that? No, really, I mean it. Okay, that's two women talking. Now, consider two guys discussing a haircut. Got a haircut, didn't you? Yep. It's funny, you know, my daughter came in this afternoon from school and she walked into my office and said, "Oh, Dad, you get a haircut?" I said, "Yep." That was it. That was all I said. I wanted this style and this. Yep, that's it. We're different. But you see, we got to learn that, you know, our wives have a need to talk and to communicate. I mean, look around the fellowship. A lot of times you'll see brothers, they're talking about things and talking about events. You know, hey, so what are you doing tomorrow? What are you going to do this? Or where are you going to watch this game? Or what's going on? I mean, we're talking about things. I mean, sisters are very different. You know, they're talking about who they are. They're talking about how they feel. They're talking about, you know, deep stuff. We men talk on the surface, and we're going to get to that in a second. But they're very different from us. But we've got to understand that. Are you with me? Again, I wasn't there when you were dating her or when you were dating each other, but I can almost guarantee it that one of the things that brought you guys together, that attracted you guys together, because you just love to be together and talk. And it's always amazing to me how, you know, it's almost as if we get married and all of a sudden, okay, the talking used to be over here and it just keeps going down and down and down and down. It shouldn't be that way. Yes, I know, you know, we have kids and things happen, life happens, we get very busy and stuff, but it shouldn't be that way. Amen? That we need to continue to talk and communicate. Now, let's talk about 5 levels of intimate communication. Level number 1 is what, again, psychologists call speaking in cliches. How you doing? Okay. You get a haircut? Yep. That's speaking in cliches. That's level number 1. It's just very basic. Level number 2 is where we're sharing facts. We're talking about the weather. We're talking about the office. We're talking about what's going on with our friends. We're talking about sports. But we're basically sharing facts. And believe it or not, that's where most men are, is at level number 2. Level number 3, we're sharing opinions. We're talking about personal goals. We're talking about dreams. We're talking about desires. Now, guess what happens when you start talking about your opinions and your dreams and your goals? There's going to be conflict. And what happens is a lot of times is we don't push through level number 3. Because we feel like, you know what, I got my opinion and here's how I feel about this issue. And my spouse and I were going at it because we don't see eye to eye on this subject. But you are not meant to see eye to eye on the subject. You're different. The fact that you're married and one flesh doesn't mean you're going to agree about everything. Okay? For instance, I consider myself a Democrat. My wife is a staunch Republican. And we talk politics all the time. We talk back and forth. She tries to change my mind on certain things, and I try to change her mind on certain things. But I'm a Democrat. You say, Richard, how can you be a Democrat? Yes, I'm a Democrat. I'm also a Christian. I'm against abortion. But I am pro-life. Sorry, I am pro-choice. I see the issue very differently. I see the issue as, for instance, again, I'm using it as an example. Somebody has a right to sin if they want to. I can't impose that on somebody. I can't legislate that. Now, abortion is sin. But if somebody wants to go commit abortion, I don't have the power to stop them. It's a choice they have to make. Just like if a guy is sleeping around, he needs to repent. Sin is still sin. But I use that as an example because, you know, my wife and I see that, you know, being Democrat or being, we see that very differently. She's not trying to change me to become a Republican. That ain't happening this lifetime. Okay? It's not happening. And I'm not trying to change her to become a Democrat. Do you understand what I'm saying? But you see, at the opinion level, there's going to be conflict. And what happens a lot of times is we don't resolve those conflicts and we never go past level 3 and we get stuck. What happens is then withdrawal takes place. Sometimes we escalate, you know, the argument. Sometimes people start belittling each other and they stop believing in their spouse. Okay? That's what happens at level 3. Now, level 4 is where you're sharing your deepest thoughts and feelings. Where you're really helping your spouse feel safe. You're able to really share your deepest thoughts and feelings. Then level number 5. Again, where you get to the point where you are sharing your most important relational needs. You're sharing your important relational needs. That's level number 5. Psychologists tell us that the average time to get to be able to communicate at level number 5 is 6 years. 6 years. After you've been married 6 years on the average, then you'll get to level number 5. Guess how many years it takes before people start saying they want a divorce? 5.5. So they never even get to that point. Okay? Does that make sense? Again, I think we need to understand that, yes, we're Christians, but we're sinners. We are redeemed sinners. That's all we are. And so when there's a communication breakdown, we need to solve it. And the Bible gives us very specific things to do and very, very specific steps to follow when there's conflict. Matthew 5 is in the Bible for a reason. Matthew 18 is in the Bible for a reason. We'll talk more about this in detail next week. He says, when somebody sins against you, you go sit in the corner, keep pouting until they come tell you they're sorry. That's not what it says. The onus is always on us. It's always on me to go to the other person, especially in this case that we're talking about, to my spouse. It's not for them to come to me. Okay? But you see, if we don't push through level number 3, then everything just breaks down. Again, like I said, most couples have never really learned to go beyond level number 3. But you see, one thing you're going to find out, and I'm sure you found out already, as you know, over the years, is when you resolve stuff, it brings you closer. That's what I figured out in 18 years of being married. When we resolve things, it brings us even closer. And it's very important that when you resolve things, again, I'm jumping ahead of myself, but that's okay. I'll repeat it myself again next week. Is when you resolve stuff, is done, it needs to end right there. It's done and it's done with. The Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that love does not keep a record of wrongs. If you're a man or a woman that's keeping a record of wrongs, you are bringing down your own house. You're just undoing your marriage. Again, Sarah and I have been married for 18 years. She has never, not once, brought up, oh yeah, back in 1994, you did this. Or over here, you promised this. It's never happened. And I've never done it. And I'll tell you, say, oh, Rick, how do you do that? To me, it's very simple. I'm a sinner. I'm a wretched sinner. And God has forgiven me of so much. I did a lot of worse things to Jesus, and I still do. And if God can forgive me and wipe out my transgressions as far as the east is from the west, who am I to hold this stuff over her? Amen. That's where my motivation comes from. That I'm a wretched sinner. And if God were to treat me like my sins deserved, I would not be standing. So where do I get off holding whatever it is that she's done over her head? It's not right. It's not righteous. Amen? But again, we'll talk about that some more next week. But it's exciting to know that when you walk through the conflict, it brings you closer. Amen? Now let's talk about the second thing as far as better communication is concerned. Listen with respect and calmness. Number two. Listen with respect and calmness. James chapter 1 verse 19 says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. James 1:19. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. A lot of times in marriage, we do the exact opposite. We're very slow to listen, but we're quick to speak, and we're quick to become angry. That's not what the Bible says. Proverbs 29 verse 20. Do you see a man who speaks in haste? There is hope for a fool than for him. Proverbs 29 verse 20. Do you see a man who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Proverbs 18 verse 3. I like this one. He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. You know how it is, your wife starts saying something and you cut them off. I do it. And she look at me and go, Richard, you didn't hear me. That's not what I'm talking about. Every time I do it, I look like an idiot. If I would just simply listen, let her finish before I jump in. But a lot of times, you know, Sarah is saying something and, you know, the words are right there, man. One funny thing happens when you're like that, when that happens. See, you don't hear anything that they say after that. Because you're ready with your answer, you know. And boom. It's like, did you even hear what I just said? Yeah, I think I did. But no, I didn't, because I wanted to reply very quickly. He who answers before listening, that is to his folly and his shame. And then Proverbs 10 verse 4. Proverbs 10 verse 4. Oh, I'm sorry. Proverbs 10, verse 19. Proverbs 10, 19. When words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. When words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. Amen? Brothers and sisters, we need to listen to each other. We need to listen to our spouse. We're talking about where we give our spouse, when they're talking about something, we give them our undivided attention. I would like to say, you know what, I'm totally there. I'll be lying. I cannot do two things at the same time. Some people are good at multitasking. You know, they can be listening to something and something else going on. I can't do it. I got to focus on one thing. Try talking to me when I'm watching a sports event. I can't hear you. I just can't do it. Or I'm listening to the news. I'm there watching something and Sarah is in the kitchen saying, Rich, this. And she'll finish. I said, huh? What did you say? But I can't do it. If I don't pause that TV, or you know, put it on mute rather, I can't do two things at the same time. But it's important that we listen to each other, amen? Yeah. When we're listening, we need to seek to understand where our spouse is coming from. We need to seek to understand. That takes work. It doesn't just happen. It takes work. Again, it's important that when our spouse is speaking, we don't interrupt them. We need to let them finish. Again, if Jesus was talking to you, you wouldn't cut him off. So we shouldn't do that to each other. It's rude. If you're in the middle of something and your spouse wants to talk to you, you need to stop what you're doing and listen. Stop, look at each other, and listen. I saw this the other day, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to share with everybody, and my wife is also in the audience. And, you know, this psychologist was saying, you know what, wives, you want to tell your husband something that's very important? Go sit on his lap. Go sit on his lap, look him straight in the eyeball, and then tell him. I thought, you know, wow, that's smart advice. I mean, if you come sit on my lap, Sarah sits on my lap, I'm not going anywhere. First of all, she's right in front of me. I can't see the TV anymore. And so, I mean, she's looking right at me, you know, like, okay, I hear you. Okay, all right. Okay, all right. Yeah, got it, Now, it's important that we also learn to practice what, again, psychologists call drive-through conversation. You know how it is when you go to the drive-thru and you order something? If you're smart, now some of them, they have this little, like a screen, and they will show you what you've bought and the price. But some of them don't have it. But if you're wise, you're going to say, you know what? Could you read back to me what I just ordered? I want, not large fries, I want small fries. Not chocolate milkshake, I want a strawberry milkshake. Yes, and a 20-piece McNugget. Yeah, Thank you. If not, you're going to get up front, they're going to hand you a bag, you're going to drive over and go, you know what? What in the world is in here? Maybe that's never happened to you. It's happened to me. But drive-through conversation is your spouse tells you something. You tell them back what you just heard, what you feel they're trying to express to you. And you'll be amazed. A lot of times, we're not listening. There are times when Sarah will tell me something, and you know, I'm shaking my head. Now, are you saying this, and this? I said, no, that's not what I'm saying. But that's what I just heard. But see, drive-through listening helps you communicate back with your spouse. Say, you know what? Is this what you're saying? Do I understand you to be saying this? And so that there's no miscommunication. It's a very small thing, but it's very effective. Okay? So practice drive-through listening. Have your spouse tell you what they understand from your conversation. Again, I put it down here, shouting and ranting and raising your voice does not work. So you just need to stop doing it. Okay? The problems will remain unsolved. So stop shouting and ranting. Stop it. Not only is it unrighteous, but also for the sake of your children. Again, I've said this before, but I'll say it again. My prayer is that When my kids grow up, and they're growing up, is obviously for them to marry disciples, but for them to want to have the kind of marriage that they see myself and their mother having. I would hate for my kids to grow up and go, you know what, man, I do not want to marry a man like my father. They will not come out and say it to you, but they're thinking it. Boy, I would hate to marry a woman like my mom. The way I see her treating him, uh-uh. You see, all this stuff is very, very important. Okay? Because again, our kids are right there and they're watching. I shared it before, but I'll share it again. I still remember when my parents were married to each other. They got divorced. I don't even remember how old I was, but I remember there was one time they got into a physical fight. I still remember it. That somebody had to come in the middle to kind of separate them. And I remember growing up saying, you know what, I would never raise my hand against another female. I hated my dad for it. And I didn't respect him for it. Obviously, later on, we talked about it. I forgave him and all that stuff. And he repented. But I still remember I was about 6 or 7 years old. And so you may think, oh, yeah, you're getting away with this. You're not getting away with anything. You may be scarring your kids for life. Again, remember, here we are. We're meant to be Christians. We're meant to set the example. Amen? You should never get to the point where, heaven forbid, you raise your hand, brothers, against your wife. The elders and I, we will get in your face. Why don't you come hit me? Why don't you become somebody your own size? It should never be for a Christian. Amen? Amen? Where we allow things to degenerate to that level. Again, it's very important that we speak and listen with a calm, non-threatening tone. And your spouse will be encouraged to do the same. Again, this is another area I need to really work on. You know, Sarah would look at me and say, you know, Richard, I'm your wife. You're talking to me like one of the brothers. I needed to be more gentle. Sometimes I forget. Amen? Amen? We need to always be respectful. Even when if you disagree with something that you guys are talking about or direction that you guys want to go, but you need to do it in such a way of mutual respect. I disagree with my wife all the time, but I will always explain to her why we're not going to do this now or why I don't think this is the best way to go about this. But it's done in a non-threatening, respectful voice. Yes, I got the final say because I'm the head of the household. Somebody's got to make the final decision. And it doesn't mean that, oh yeah, yes, 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 mm-hmm, yes, yes. That's not what we're talking about. But even when you disagree, you need to do it in a very respectful way. Amen? Amen. There's got to be mutual respect. I believe that's the key to an effective partnership. Amen? But we need to listen with respect and calmness. Very, very important. And I got work to do when it comes to communication. And I know you got work to do too. But it can get better. And so, I want to give us this. We can give these out. Take one each. But again, I'm going to give those out. These are true or false questions. And there's no right or wrong answer. Okay? But, you know, just score yourself. For instance, number one, I often can't seem to find the right words to express what I want to say. True or false? It's about yourself. Number two, I worry that exposing myself to my partner will result in rejection. True or false? Number three, I often don't talk because I'm afraid my opinion is wrong. Number four, speaking up will only make things worse. True or false? My speech is often defensive. True or false? I hate it when my partner brings up a problem. True or false? Like I said, there's no right or wrong answer. Okay? Again, the whole purpose of this is for you to get a feel for where communication problems or perceptions exist. All right? We got 50 copies. There should be enough to go around. Everybody gets one. Really? There's more than 50 people in here? Wow. I didn't think we were that many. Can you? Yeah, if your printer can copy, maybe you can let me pass somebody who doesn't have one. There's some people in the back who don't have one. I apologize. Wow, I thought, oh yeah, we're 40 something. So Jim, how many people do we have in this room? Let me give one to Danny Doble. He's in the back interpreting. So let me make sure he gets one. You counted me too, right? 60. 63. Wow. Okay. Super. I hope that we are not discouraged. I hope we're not feeling like, oh boy, you know, this can never get better. It can. It's work. It takes time. But if you work at it together, it does get better. Okay? It does get better. Remember, I always state this, but I can't remember the last time I said it, but I'll say it again. There's not going to be any marriage in heaven. This is it. You better enjoy this. That's what the book says. It doesn't tell us everything we're going to be doing on the other side. But marriage isn't going to be one of them. Okay? You're not going to be together in heaven in terms of, okay, here's you and your family and you got your little neighborhood. That ain't happening. I don't see that. Okay? So this is it. This is when we get to enjoy this. This is when we get to draw close to our spouse and just have a great time. Okay? And so let's enjoy it. Let's go after it. Let's work at it. Okay? Let's make it the best it can be. Amen? Because our kids are growing up, and I've seen this happen so many times, where kids grow up, they have their challenges, Satan comes after them, and 9 times out of 10, the kids that have stayed faithful, and even when they're going through their challenges and their problems, they will always come back and say, you know what? I knew if I left God, I would never have the kind of marriage that I see my mom and dad having. And so, I say that not to put pressure on us, but for us to really go after having great marriages, because that may be the thing that saves your kids one day. Amen? And my prayer is that not only will all of us get to heaven, but that all of our kids and their grandkids and great-grandkids and descendants that you and I will never even meet on this side of eternity, that every single one of them will be on the other side. That's my prayer. Amen? Amen? Amen. So, that's it for better communication. Next week, we'll talk about resolving conflict. Okay? Amen? Amen? Amen. Derek, could you come up and close out with a word of prayer, please? Thank you.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this evening, God. We just really appreciate Richard, Father, just sharing the truth with us, God. God, it helps us in our relationship with you, God. It helps us in our relationship with our spouse, Father. And it helps us have better marriages, Father, because our marriages are on display, Father, God, the world is watching us, God. And if we're going to impact the world, Father, we need to be unified with our spouses, Father. God, we thank you so much for this evening. Thank you so much for just allowing us to be able to understand your love and your patience with us, Father. God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just one last thing. We've been announcing for weeks now our marriage retreat coming up in October. And I really want to encourage you to start saving up. I believe it's $395 for the entire weekend. We're going back to the same place we were last year, for those of you who were able to go. It's the Windship Retreat. Tremendous time. Tremendous service, tremendous food. It's just going to be a great time. It's one of those things you want to miss. But we have, the rooms are limited. And it's one of those first come, first serve, you know, basis where start planning on it and who's going to take care of your kids and all that kind of stuff. It's going to be great. So again, I want to encourage you, especially if you didn't get a chance to go last year, to go this year. Okay? You are going to love it. You are going to love it. If I'm not mistaken, I think we got, I want to say 65 rooms. That's it. I mean, there are people in that back room who are also going to go.
There's 53 back here.
So, I mean, you can tell already. So, we're, okay, 53 plus 63. I know they're going to be going. Okay? So, again, I'm just encouraging you to start, you know, saving up. And I believe we can pay in installments. Okay? Talk to Tammy Goodwin. She's the one in charge. And it's going to be a great, great time. And October will be here before you realize it. Wyndham and Ginny Shaw, he's an elder, an elder's wife from the Boston Church of Christ, are going to be our guests for the weekend. And it's going to be tremendous. Amen? Amen. Thank you. We're dismissed.